Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, June 26, 2014. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com. Also a live stream on the station's website, kvoi.com. And then usually about an hour after the show's conclusion, Rose is very good about posting the program to buckmastershow.com, which means it's available for anyone in the world to listen to the program on any schedule you can imagine at buckmastershow.com. During the noon hour today, a University of Arizona economic forecaster with us. He is Dr. George Hammond. He will be and is with me in studio talking about the Arizona economy as we get ready to close out the books on the fiscal year and begin a new fiscal year July 1st. Also, of course, this is the midway point now of the calendar year. Then at about 12:30 today, we'll talk more about the economy in our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Then we close out the show with Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show consumer affairs contributor. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Check it out. George Hammond, Dr. George Hammond with me now. Dr. Hammond, Associate Director of Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona-based Eller College of Management. Dr. Hammond, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you very much. How would you characterize, and since we are kind of in a end-of-year fiscal year, how would you characterize the fiscal year that is closing out?
Well, overall, we're still growing. Arizona is expanding. We're adding jobs. We're adding population. It's likely that our real income is growing. But overall, that growth feels pretty slow. You know, statewide, we're adding jobs at about a 2% growth rate on a year-over-year basis. That's okay. You know, that's a bit faster than the national average. But it's a lot slower than, you know, for instance, Arizona's average growth during the 30 years before the Great Recession. So we're growing, but it feels slow. And over the last couple of months, we've actually seen things decelerate a little bit, even statewide.
So the growth rate of 2.1% would translate into adding about how many thousand jobs in Arizona?
Well, in 2013, that translated into about 50,000 additional jobs statewide.
For a population, I mean, it seems slow.
Yeah, that's slow. You know, that 2% growth is fairly slow compared to the roughly 4% year-over-year growth that Arizona generated on average during the 30 years before the downturn.
So generally, you would call 2013 at least a disappointing year.
Yeah. The state has been through much worse recently, so things could be worse. But you know, that 2% growth is not particularly good.
What would you like to see it? What would you expect it to be at coming out of the Great Recession? This many years, it began in 2008. So you would expect that would have picked up a little more, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a lot of forecasters expected growth to accelerate a bit more rapidly coming out of the Great Recession, and we really haven't seen that. You know, we've been stuck at that 2% growth rate for a couple of years now, and I think we're gonna spend 2014 stuck at around that 2%, or maybe a bit below 2%.
How about housing? Is the housing recovery that seemed to get off to a pretty good start, does it seem like it may have temporarily run out of gas, maybe being on fumes right now?
Sure. You know, we hit bottom in terms of housing permits in 2010. We saw a little bit of growth in 2011, some stronger growth in 2012, and it looked like we were going to carry that momentum into 2013. But, you know, by the time we got to the second half of 2013, the air really went out of the sails. And that was primarily driven by multifamily activity. That actually declined on a year-over-year basis in the second half of the year. Single-family permits were also pretty slow, but they did grow a little bit. So we kind of had that little bit of a slowdown in the second half of 2013. silver lining here is that we saw a bounce back in the first quarter, particularly in multifamily permits. But that was really concentrated in Phoenix. Tucson got the slowdown in the second half of 2013, but really didn't get that bounce back in the first quarter. So, you know, housing, at least in terms of housing permits, we got that little bit of a bounce back in 2012, 2013. But you want to keep in mind that even with that bounce back, housing permits are running at a really low level, basically the lowest level we've seen since the early 1990s.
What's driving the Phoenix housing market? The multifamily permits?
Right. Multifamily permits were responsible for the bounce back in the first quarter. And, you know, multifamily activity is benefiting from a lot of trends. You know, during the downturn and the housing bust, a lot of people were converted into renters because they lost their homes due to foreclosure. We've also seen house prices rising fairly rapidly and difficult mortgage conditions. That's tended to keep people renting, even if they would like to become homeowners again. And, you know, this additional demand for rental units has driven up rents. And builders are noticing that and looking at some of the demographic trends suggest to them that multifamily activity is probably a good bet going forward.
How about all the folks who were underwater, the thousands of people who really could not afford to stay in a home here in Arizona? Have we pretty much looked at the inventory, and is that now pretty much diminished?
Inventory looks a little bit better than it did a year or two ago, but the inventories are still fairly tight. You know, there are still a lot of people in Arizona who are underwater, who are essentially trapped in those houses, and it's gonna take another couple years to work that down to even lower levels.
Dr. George Hammond is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments about the Arizona economy, Dr. Hammond would love to hear from you. He'll do his best to answer your question. When you have people who are underwater in their home, of course, that's not a good situation to be in, and those people, I would assume, tend not to spend as much money on disposable income. It's just not there for them.
Sure. Large numbers of households, really nationwide and in Arizona as well, are still restructuring their balance sheets, trying to get back on better financial footing. And the mortgage issues are part of that. We've also seen huge increases in student debt over the last couple of years, and that's factoring into the slow growth, particularly in first-time buyers of houses. It's probably being held back a little bit by that student debt.
You talked about in your opening remarks the federal fiscal drag hurting growth in 2013. Elaborate on how that impacts us.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that, federal government activity matters for the nation, the state, and particularly in Tucson, where it's a much bigger part of the local economy. And federal fiscal drag has really had an impact on U.S. state and local growth over the past year, particularly in 2013. And to really tell the story of that, you have to think back to 2012 when we were talking a lot about the fiscal cliff and the idea that tax rates might be rising in early 2013. And people and firms, really, who could shift income into 2012 and away from 2013 did so. That created a big bump in income in late 2012, and we got this kind of payback in early 2013 with lower income. Then you pile on top of that the increase, the expiration of the federal payroll tax holiday, which meant an increase in payroll taxes. Then we got the sequester cuts. And then to cap it all off at the end of the year, we had the federal government shutdown. That's quite a bit of federal fiscal drag that affected national growth, that affected state growth, and I think it particularly affected growth here in Tucson. So, Tucson added jobs last year, but only about 2,400. And that's just a 0.7% growth rate.
Yeah, because the way the federal government goes, the way Tucson is so tied to federal jobs with Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and Fort Huachuca down in southeastern Arizona, so that did have an impact.
Absolutely. Relative to GDP, federal civilian and military activity accounts for about twice the share in Tucson that it does nationally, about 7% locally in terms of that direct activity compared to about 3.6% for the nation. So it's a much bigger share of the local economy.
Let's go back to jobs. You mentioned that the state added over 50,000 jobs. The growth rate was about 2.1%. Let's break that down into Southern Arizona. How did we do in Tucson? Pretty slow, I guess.
Yeah, we added just 2,400 jobs. That's a growth rate of 0.7%. To put that in perspective for you, that's about half of Tucson's growth rate in 2012. It's about half the national rate and a third of the state's growth rate in 2013. So that's really pretty slow job growth.
Was there any good news in the job growth?
Well, we did see positive job growth, and certainly things have been worse not too long ago. The growth that we did see was, while it was pretty slow, if you look at the month-to-month data, it looks like we saw a little bit of a bounce back in early 2014. We're now seeing growth at least through the first quarter of almost 1%. So it looks like things might be stabilizing and even picking up a little bit in early 2014.
So part of the slow Tucson job growth rate in 2013 goes back to the impact of that federal fiscal drag.
Yes. And one thing to keep in mind here is that fiscal drag shows up in a variety of ways. It can show up in fewer federal jobs, and we actually didn't see too much of that. Federal employment was pretty stable in Tucson over the past year, but it can also show up in slower wage growth for the federal workers that we do have, and there we do see an impact. So it was likely that in responding to the sequester that the federal employers actually furloughed workers more than they laid them off. But probably the bigger impact was through the procurement spending. That's just federal government purchases of goods and services from the private sector. That fell significantly in Tucson and statewide by, 20 to 30% in a year.
Did that impact Raytheon?
Probably not Raytheon so much. That kind of spending from the private sector would have affected jobs, engineers, consultants who are working with the federal government. It can also affect, state and local government activities that are funded by some of those federal grants that are tied to that sequester spending.
So what is the federal share then of the GDP for Tucson?
The federal share of GDP in Tucson is 7% in 2012, compared to 3.6 for the U.S.
So there is quite a bit of dependence.
Yes.
Compared to the national average.
It's a large share
Local
economy, yes.
All right, Dr. George Hammond will stick around with us. We'll talk a little bit about the national economy. We'll also talk about what's ahead for the Tucson economy in the next 12 months. Dr. George Hammond, the Associate Director of Economic and the Business Research Center at the Elder College of Management at the University of Arizona, coming up right after this break on The Buckmaster Show. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Want the best care for your companion animal? then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. George Hammond is with us. He is the director of the Economic and Business Research Center. That center is based at the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management. We're talking about the Arizona economy as we are at the midpoint on the calendar year and the end of the fiscal year, and a new fiscal year is beginning on July 1st. Dr. Hammond would be very happy to hear from you, 790-2040, if you have any questions about the Tucson economy. So, Dr. Hammond, you think the Tucson opportunity, the opportunities are there, certainly, for Tucson to come in with a better year in 2014 than 2013.
Yeah, I think we might see growth accelerate just a tiny bit this year. I think that'll happen in part because we'll see less federal fiscal drag this year. At least we won't see the same kinds of fiscal drag. You know, we're not talking about a federal fiscal cliff. We're not talking about increases in payroll taxes. the sequester cuts are there. They're not expected to get any worse. And the, you know, shouldn't be a federal government shutdown this year, probably not next either. So that really sets the stage for a little bit faster growth in Tucson. I think we'll also see a slight acceleration nationally. That will help.
How about the housing area here in Tucson? Will that recover?
Housing, I think, will continue to build, but I think we're at least another year away from significantly stronger growth in housing and really significantly stronger growth for the state or even for Tucson. So 2015, I think, is about the soonest we can hope for a real acceleration.
Dr. Hammond, let's talk about the whole demographic transition, the aging of the baby boom generation. How is that impacting Tucson and Arizona?
Well, the baby boomers have had big socioeconomic impacts during every life transition so far, and this next one's going to be no different, and that transition is the transition to retirement. And we're seeing big labor market impacts from this already. You know, the Arizona labor force participation rate's been rocketing down really since the Great Recession began. And what's driving that in large part is retirements of the baby boom generation. Part of what that means is that employers like you and I are going to have to work a lot harder in the future to attract and retain the skilled labor that we need. But it's going to be a gradual transition. You know, a lot of baby boomers are taking a gradual approach to retirement, so they'll kind of phase out. Employers are going to, I think, work really hard to keep that skill, that knowledge base around for as long as they can to get the knowledge transition going, to get that knowledge transferred. So it'll be a gradual transition for, I think, a lot of people, but it's going to get tighter and tighter, I think, every year going forward.
And so many, you hear the stories of the baby boomers who had saved some money, and then 2008 with the Great Recession, a lot of that income that they had, income that was generating the stock market, was suddenly gone. And you hear these stories that people are saying, Dr. Hammond, they just can't afford to retire.
Right, that's an issue. But the stock market has bounced back strongly, and then we're now hitting new highs. So some of the repairing of that financial damage has happened. I think the really low interest rates is also having an impact on the purchasing power of particularly people who have been retired for a while. But I think, you know, as we look to the future in terms of the Federal Reserve and interest rate policy, that we'll, you know, over the next year to year and a half, we'll start to see those interest rates start to move back up as the economy gains momentum.
Is the change, you do see a change in the Fed policy?
Sure.
And what would that be?
Well, the Fed has begun and has been tapering its quantitative easing. That will continue. I think, as we get into the fall of next year, we'll probably see the Fed start to raise interest rates in a gradual fashion as economic growth and inflation starts to pick back up.
If 2013 was disappointing for Tucson and Arizona, how was 2013 as far as the national economy?
Equally disappointing. It was slow growth, less than 2% growth in GDP in 2013. It's much slower than we saw in 2012. Again, the federal fiscal drag had a lot to do with that. Given the disastrous first quarter of the year, we're going to see for the year as a whole probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2% growth for the nation as well. So, you know, 2014 looks like another kind of transition year as we look to get back into that faster growth mode.
Have we the jobs that were lost in the post-recession, have most of those jobs come back?
Nationally, all of the jobs that we lost during the recession have been replaced. Now, that's in total. You know, the distribution, the types of jobs have changed. You know, we've seen shifts in the wage distribution that has impacted wage growth a little bit. And wage growth remains a major concern. We're not seeing a strong rebound in wage and income growth. Part of that's being driven by this redistribution of jobs. Part of it's being driven just by the fact that there's still a huge amount of slack labor. There's still millions of people unemployed. Long-term unemployment remains a problem, an issue going forward, and that's really putting the brakes on wage growth.
Then there are all the people that just gave up looking for jobs, and you kind of wonder how many are out there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Millions of them are out there, and it remains an issue, and that will keep the kind of the brakes on wage growth for the next year or so. But the other side of that pendulum is the retirement of the baby boom generation, and that's gradually going to create these openings, stronger wage demand and stronger wage growth.
Tell us in the remaining few seconds a little bit about the Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller School.
We do a variety of projects. I direct the forecasting project in the center, which is a community-sponsored effort to keep people up to date on where the state local economies are. We also have a terrific webpage at ebr.eller.arizona.edu. You can find out about all of our latest economic analysis and a huge amount of data on our quarterly newsletter, Arizona's Economy, at azeconomy.org. And one thing your listeners might be interested in is we've just released our smartphone app called Arizona's Economy. You can find that free at the iTunes Store and on Google Play.
Okay, Dr. Hammond, Dr. George Hammond, Director of Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller School of Management at the University of Arizona. That is
ebr.eller.arizona.edu.
Or just Google it.
You'll just Google it. You can't miss it.
Thanks a lot.
Yes.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Amid continued appeals for Iraqi leaders to put aside their differences, violence is claiming more lives in Baghdad and elsewhere in Iraq. Bombing today killed a dozen people in a Shiite neighborhood of the capital city. White House says President Obama's visit to Minneapolis today, first in a series of what it calls day-in-the-life visits with everyday Americans. Loss to Germany today has not knocked the U.S. soccer team out of the World Cup. The Americans still captured second place in their division, so they advance to the next round of the tournament in Brazil. Authorities say a 12-year-old Detroit boy who went missing for 10 days before turning up in his own basement has been released from the hospital now. Wall Street, the Dow is down about 25 points. The NASDAQ is off 6. The S&P down 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated. TRIO offers a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated nearly 70 project successes in Southern Arizona, representing 10,300 direct jobs and an overall economic impact of $4.3 billion. Find out more by visiting TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show is Rob Lamb. Rob is the Chief Operations Officer at GLHN Architects and Engineers. This is a 50-year-old multidiscipline architecture and engineering firm that's based here in Tucson. Rob has international management experience. He's had a career that has really touched on multiple industries, including automotive, digital instrumentation, industrial products, and architecture and engineering. Recently, he joined the TRIO Board of Directors. Rob, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Bill. I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about GLHN Architects and Engineers. This is a company that I understand is employee-owned.
That's correct. We've been around for about 50 years. We had our 50-year anniversary last year. And employee-owned means that the employees actually have stock in the firm. And there's other ESOPs, as they're known, around. But it really does make a difference for us in that each one of our employees is actually also an owner of the company.
Well, they have a piece of the action, let's face it. If you feel like you've got a stake in what you're coming to work every day, and if you benefit personally, everybody benefits because you're all in it together. It's kind of like the Green Bay Packers, where the town of Green Bay owns the Packers, and then everybody gets behind the team. And I'm sure that that kind of team spirit translates at GLHN.
It really does, and it actually affects a bit of the type of company we are. Architecture and engineering, what does that mean for most folks? They might not know GLHN. They might see the small sign as they drive down Broadway. We're architects and engineers. So what we do, what that means is we design buildings, the mechanical, electrical systems in those buildings, determine how they can be built safely, efficiently, getting the maximum capabilities out of the places where we go to work, school, and do our business.
It's interesting because your company, basically, unless you would read the little sign at a construction project, folks wouldn't really know GLHN. But tell us about some of your project successes.
Well, we've got a couple of things going on right now in town. One is we uh, the the new streetcar that we were all waiting for that to start up in July. We actually designed the maintenance facility that those streetcars go into, and also help with some of the infrastructure rerouting around the University of Arizona, a very big client of ours. And if you go down on 6th Street at the U of A, there's a very large construction project, five-story building. The Environmental and Natural Resources Building is going up. That's ours. Very proud of that, what that is. And we've a lot of things that you don't realize at U of A when you're walking across campus. There's infrastructure under your feet, and we've been involved in that for a long time of helping the university be successful in all the projects they have there.
So it's not just designing a building architecturally. There's so much more involved with the whole engineering, right? You can have perhaps the great bones, if you think of a building with good bones, but you got to have the good infrastructure.
Exactly. Without the infrastructure, things don't happen. You got to flush your toilets, turn on your water, fountain, and everything has to work. And there's really a big push right now on making sure that that's being done efficiently and effectively, really in a green manner, so that we're really, when you look at your energy systems, your HVAC, how can we do this better, cheaper, more effectively, use less energy, have a better footprint on the environment?
Are you an economic driver for the city of Tucson? Do you have out-of-state clients that come to Tucson and work at the base here?
Well, we're a smaller firm compared to the other TRIO members. Mm-hmm. We're about 80 people. But we've got clients actually all over the country. We've got the Veterans Administration is a very large client of ours for over 40 years. We've been in pretty much every medical center, VA medical center in the country over the last 40 years, and done a lot of work for them. We're also finishing up the design of a renovation of a hospital out in American Samoa.
Really? Right, out in Pago Pago.
Yeah, so that's our
I've
one,
actually been there.
Oh, well,
yeah,
you, it's one actually, up on me then.
Yeah, it's a beautiful island out in American Samoa. So is it difficult finding skilled engineers and architects? I know from my experience at the University of Arizona, I know the U of A has really top-notch architecture school. I just wondered, are you getting the people you need for your firm?
We do have a lot of U of A grads at our firm, and we continue to look for the next generation to come out of U of A and other universities here in Arizona. What we are finding, though, is that there are some engineering some of the things like, for instance, electrical engineering is getting a little bit more difficult. And we, as you mentioned in your previous guest, Dr. Hammond mentioned, we are expecting that it's going to get harder to find good folks with experience, especially now that a lot of the tools of our trade are actually changing. And the way that buildings get designed and built are changing with the new technology.
Your firm has a reputation really of giving your employees give of their time and talent and fund several important Tucson institutions. United Way recently named your organization, Rob Lamb, as the best small company for your efforts in 2013 and 14 in the campaign. Do you encourage your employees to get active at GLHN in the community?
Yes, we do, and it's part of who we are. When you've been in a firm that's been involved part of a community for over 50 years, it's part of the DNA. It actually happens. But I have the incredible privilege of working with some very selfless and generous people all across our staff. We have been involved, again, we're a smaller staff of 80, but we've got a large contingent of people who weekly in the middle of the day will go down to Robeson Elementary School and participate as tutors for the Reading Seed program.
That's great. That's great.
And we also contribute to the Arizona Assurance Scholarship Program at U of A to really help out those in Arizona who can need to be able to go to college and they can't quite afford it.
You are a new member to the TRIO board. I'd be interested to hear some of your thoughts about economic development in Southern Arizona. What is the Rob Lamb solution for putting more jobs in this community?
Well, I think what it really comes down to, first of all, I think Joe Snell is the president and CEO of Trio is doing a great job of really trying to pull together and bring more activity, along with a number of others in the community. We've got Mike Varney over at the Chamber, has really put a renewed focus on economic development here, which is fantastic. You've got Chuck Huckleberry, you know, at the county level, is really working on seeing what we can do from an infrastructure standpoint to make sure that we're really building the Canamex corridor. It's a lot of different activities going on. I did have a bit of a history in being involved in economic activity up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I came from 5.5 years ago. And we've got some things that happened up there. One is we saw some disparate organizations actually start to work together on some common things. I'd like to see some more of that occur around common
economic development. Get rid of the turf battles that happen so much here. People have to get on the same page.
They do, and you know, we're in the building and construction, design and construction industry, and one of the things that, Bill, you find is that to design and build, and when you see a building come together and the building process, it's complex, takes a lot of work. Conversely, it takes very little effort to actually destroy a building. I think if we spend a little bit more time on building the relationships, focusing instead of just cutting down and criticizing what each other's doing, if we find the common elements, we can get a lot done for this community.
I would agree 100% with that. We need to all get on the same page. I'm just curious about what GLHN stands for.
Sure. There were four folks that actually got together and bought out Finical and Dabrowski, which was the firm, and those were Grigsby, Lynch, Harwell, and Nelson.
Oh, you've passed the test there. So
yes.
You remembered. You remembered all four of them.
Yes.
And so now people will see the name GLHN Architects and Engineers, and they will now know a little bit about the company. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Rob Lamb has been with us. He is the Chief Operations Officer at GLHN Architects and Engineers. They have a lot going on here in the community, a lot of building projects going on and putting people to work and improving our economy. This has been our CEO interview series presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated. You can find out more by visiting TRIO. TREOAZ.org. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sarita
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Rose, it's going to be about, I don't know, over 105 degrees. Be a great weekend to get away to Silver City. Pack up the family 3 hours east of Tucson, take a left at Lordsburg, and then head for the high country, anywhere from 5 to about 7,000 feet up at the lovely little community historic town of Pinos Altos. Of course, Silver City with all the great art galleries, and then there's the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. That certainly is worth a trip. You can find out all about the great places to stay and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, and we always try to mention at least one or two of the places to stay in today. We'll mention Pinos Altos Cabins and Lake Roberts Motel. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Tom Collier is with me. Tom is the Buckmaster Show contributor, consumer affairs contributor, and even a guy who has been doing consumer affairs reporting for many decades can be tempted by, well, what could turn out and did turn out perhaps to be a scam.
Yes, I'm here to fess up. First of all, let's talk about this really nasty, nasty phishing scam that involves PayPal. If you are a PayPal customer, and a lot of us are, have a PayPal account, eBay's list was compromised, mailing list and sign-in lists were compromised a couple of months ago. That didn't involve PayPal, but one of the things that's happening is because they're both owned by the same company, there is this new phishing scam. Normally, when you get these phishing emails, it's addressed to dear customer, and that's one of the indicators that it might be a scam, or you can look at where it came from, and the address looks suspicious, the origination address looks suspicious. This particular scam that involves PayPal, that is trying to scam people out of their PayPal accounts, involves a salutation line. Instead of saying dear customer, it says dear Mr. Buckmaster or dear Mr. Collier, if you have that. That's usually indicative of the fact that it tends to lull people into this sense of thinking that, well, this may be legitimate. And this was disclosed when a couple of people who had email addresses that were exclusively used for PayPal got this thing. And just to reiterate, what you have to do before you click on one of those things is verify with the company. Make a telephone call. Don't assume that it is indeed legitimate, and make a telephone call. We're talking about how I got scammed. I'm going to make a little pitch here. I'm on the board of directors of Los Changuitos Feos, the original youth mariachi group, and they are having their 50th anniversary celebration. We're flying in Mariachi Cobre from Orlando, Florida. So we're making the ticket reservations using the Changuitos card, okay?
Yes, yes.
Well, I had forgotten that I had put a credit limit on that card, mm-hmm. and we very rapidly ran up to it, you know, trying to buy airline tickets for 13 guys to come from Orlando to Tucson round trip. So all of a sudden the card stopped being rejected. Well, we talked to the credit people and got a temporary extension so we could continue going on. The next day, I, as the treasurer and the person who's got the email account, got a phishing scam from the bank that we were using. And it said, been problems, you need to do this. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we had that difficulty last night.
Right.
So maybe this is, and I came so close, except that they asked for my social security number.
There you go.
That was the tip-off point. And I finally called the financial institution that the Changuitos bank with, and we talked it over, and it was a scam. But, I mean, here I've been doing this for decades, Bill. I've been on your show, been on television. I've had decades of experience, and I came that close.
Wow.
How did they get that? My guess is that there must have been somebody on the inside. That must have been an inside job. But for it to be so, it can't be a coincidence that the morning after we had this little kerfluffle with credit limits and cards being rejected and things like that, because we'd forgotten that we put the limit on it, I get this phishing scam from the financial institution for the Changuitos. So anyway, hope people will help celebrate the 50th anniversary. And I've talked to Rose, and maybe we'll have an interview later on in Buckmaster Show.
How about live streaming? Was there news on that today?
There was a Supreme Court decision involving a company called Aero, A-E-R-O. They do live streaming of essentially free television signals. They don't serve our area. They serve like 10 major metropolitan areas back east. But it has implications for people who record television signals off the air and perhaps store them on their TiVo or on their videotape recorder or manage them somehow, put them in cloud storage. Because what the Supreme Court, and this was a U.S. Supreme Court decision on this particular business model, said is that when you take copyrighted information, even if you don't pay for it, what Aero did was they had a whole bunch of little antennas in their subscribers' houses that would collect this information from free over-the-air broadcast, and then they charged for the antenna and for the transmission service. The Supreme Court said that's pretty much like the cable company business model, where the content providers and content generators pay the cable company in order to
move
distribute their product through the cable into various subscribers' homes. Mm-hmm. So they struck it down. They said, no, you can't do that. Well, this company didn't have a plan B. So I don't know. Essentially, they're going to shut down. But the implication is copyright law has gotten so complicated and so voracious in this company, in this country, and it's so out of control that if you record something that you obtained over the air, broadcast free, and you store it in your cloud storage or on your hard drive or in your computer, I guarantee you there's a lawyer somewhere who's going to claim that that is a violation of copyright and you ought to pay the originator of that information some kind of copyright fee. You mark my words, it'll be litigated in the next 5 to 7 years.
That brings up some interesting questions about people who stream videos at home. Is it illegal to stream a video at home as long as you're not the originator of the live stream?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to guess that, yeah, it is. Because if you don't own the copyright and you stream it to other people and somebody else owned the copyright and invested in the creation of that particular content, well, this has implications for people who share on Facebook, who share on Google+, or who just, you know, send an email as an attachment. The problem is finding out when that occurs. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's going to be a public forum like Facebook or a public forum like Google+ or some of the other public fora, then, yeah, that's easy to detect. And you're going to get the cease and desist letter or the pay up letter from the lawyer. But if you do it individually and privately, you know, who's going to be able to tell?
Getting back to our topic about the PayPal and the changing on eBay, changing your password, would it be a good idea to change your password on PayPal as well?
Oh, yeah. And there was a study done recently at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology about passwords. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure a password that is four or five random words that you can just pick. If you're allowed to put spaces in between them, is orders of magnitude more difficult to crack than the ones that are combinations of letters and uppercase and lowercase and numbers and sometimes the symbol things on the, you know, the top row of the keyboard. That's kind of interesting because you need to have the folks who require you to have a password come along with that additional progress, because if they say your password must be more than six characters and can include letters and numbers but cannot include spaces,
yeah,
then they're kind of making it easier for those who are going to crack it to take a crack at you. But if you can have four or five random words, just flip back and forth through the dictionary, stick a number in there, then that is orders of magnitude more difficult to crack, according to this MIT study.
Yeah, but so many. I've tried that and with the spaces, and it just won't allow that.
Well, so do what I do. Just do a run-on. Run it all together.
Yeah. Random words. Okay.
Random words.
Good advice from Tom Collier. And, Tom, boy, if you can be lured, your finger was just ready to...
That close. And radio, this is radio. I have to describe the gesture.
Yes.
Thumb and forefinger making the that close gesture. That close. My heart started thumping in my chest.
I bet. So be careful out there is the lesson. Thanks, Tom Collier.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Friday Focus Time tomorrow. Ray Carroll, Pima County Supervisor, joins me in studio. And, of course, we'll have our Friday Roundtable. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8. The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone is on from 8 to 9. Then a new talk show for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. That will be coming up in a few hours here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. On behalf of Rosemary Brandt, producer, Bill Buckmaster, anchor, host, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.